Quorum is present. The business before the body this afternoon is the Senate budget and refinements in that budget that come by necessity as a result of the actions of the legislature back July 19th or thereabouts. And to that end, and to review the actions proposed, Secretary Ludeman is going to go through the facts, the finances, and the recommendations as they're being brought forward.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I am Cal Ludeman, the Secretary of the Senate. In consultation with the Majority Leader and the Rules Committee Chairman's Office, this is the budget proposal for the State Senate for the fiscal years 12 and 13. The budget itself is found in a four-page document that you have in your packet. The last page is the actual budget, line by line item budget, with that degree of specificity that says that that constitutes our budget for the current biennium. However, all the actions taken to conform to that budget are described in the previous two pages, and I'd like to review those a little bit. One of the things that I think that it would be important for this committee to realize that a lot of actions and decisions have been made already to conform to this budget, which constitutes a 5% reduction in the appropriation to the State Senate from the actions of the last legislative session. And a good example of that would be that our current roster for employees stands today at 192. Historically, that would be the lowest roster count of last 15 years of the State Senate. Another good example of some of the actions already taken to conform to this would be that our even temporary or in-session employment is dropped from a kind of a historical average of about 45 down to 18 for this legislative session. So some of those temporary costs are already reduced, caused by this budget. On the second page of the documents that you have in your packet, good explanation of the appropriation and the reduction. But it establishes a new base budget for the biennium. And then the most important part of that, and the 5% calculation is simply math, but the halfway down it says the fixed cost increases for the fiscal biennium generates an additional shortfall that the Senate has to contemplate in its development of the budget. Most of these dollars are found in that first item called insurance premiums. This is the health insurance paid for on behalf of the employees of the Senate and the senators. That cost by MMB was projected to us at 8.2% increase. The caveat here is that that contract, the collective bargaining contract for state workers, has not been fully completed, and so that actual number is still a negotiating number. They also projected an exact same increase for the next calendar year 13. That has a cumulative effect of a substantial increase in insurance premiums. And there is no other way for us to be able to calculate that other than to take MMB's a current position on those insurance premiums. That does add, however, that amount of money in 2012 of $103,500 and $385,500 for the rest of the fiscal biennium that needs to be fixed in this budget proposal. So that means that with the $2,182,400 in actual appropriation reduction in addition to that fixed cost increase means that we have to solve for $2,671,400 out of our appropriation. The third page are the actions that constitute how that this proposal would solve that problem, and I'd like to go through these seven items, if I may, Mr. Chairman, with some brief discussion. Maybe we go through that. If it's up to you, we'll go through all seven, and then we'll back up.
I think that would be of value to the committee.
All right.
Mr. Secretary.
The first one is what is called salary savings effort. This is to take historical information about the use of what are called voluntary leaves of absence. Sometimes you would hear salary savings leave as another way to say this. These aren't anticipated savings through either vacancies or any further promotion. It doesn't actually require promotion. This is a historical figure that we feel this is a conservative number that we can easily achieve at least this much savings with the use of these salary savings leaves throughout the Senate employment. That constitutes $180,000 for the year that we're in. I'll remind you that this biennium fiscal year started July 1st of 2011 and ends on June 30th of 2013. The second item is furloughs, and this has a significant impact on the employment in the Senate. All of this budget has a significant impact on the staff and some of the other compensations that we have within the Senate. 88.6% of the cost of the state Senate is through employment costs, either the salary and benefits. And so you'll see almost every item related to either some reduction of hours on behalf of those employees or other ways to take some of those employment costs away from the Senate.
Mr. Secretary, I have a question, and others break in if you have them as well. I'm surprised I haven't asked this of you as we've talked, but do employees here get what do you call it, steps and lanes, but automatically increases year by year just because it's another year's gone by or not?
Mr.
Or
Chairman.
Do we have to appropriate that?
Mr. Chairman, Senate, no, they do not.
Okay.
There is no across-the-board cost-of-living increase within this budget. There has not been within Senate employment for some time now.
Okay.
Most of that would occur at the point of hire.
Okay. Senator Bach?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Secretary, the furloughs, their time off without pay. My question is, will the furlough be similar to salary savings where the Senate will continue to pay health insurance? Will they continue to accrue their sick time and vacation time and just lose salary, or are there other impacts to the employees?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Bach, I think you said it very well. They do not lose any of the benefit or the accrual. There will be a slit. Now, this does constitute, if it's 2 days of furlough, there will be 0.75% reduction in salary for that year. So that calculation, for example, if they transfer into the general plan of MSRS, that does lower your calculation of a I-5 value, for example, by that portion. But no other health benefit or the calculation of days eligibility for retirement are calculated the same way. Sick leave accumulation would remain the same. So it is a salary-only reduction. And it means for one or two pay periods of an 80-hour pay period, it's a 72-hour pay period. And that's so you can't use floating holidays, vacation. It's like a salary savings leave.
Senator Bach?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Secretary, when staff take salary savings, they're given the opportunity to buy back their pension. Will this be similar? Will people be able to buy back their pension contribution that wasn't made by the Senate?
Mr. Secretary?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Bach, I may need a little help on this, but to that degree, it is different than salary savings leave, so there will not be an opportunity to buy back or put in a contribution to make yourself whole on those calculations. I don't mean to say that this is minuscule. Its impact is not large, but it is to each employee. It's 8 hours of lost or 16 hours of lost work for that fiscal year. But I do not believe that opportunity exists.
Sidney.
Is that true? Yeah.
Senator Bach?
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Secretary, if a person was willing to maybe move money from the deferred comp or use cash, why wouldn't we allow them, if there's no cost to the Senate, why wouldn't we allow them to buy back their pension that they've lost? Rather than virtually lower every employee of the Senate, lower their pension benefit when they go to retire, why wouldn't it give them opportunity to use their own money to buy back the lost pension benefit?
Secretary?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Bach, I don't believe it's the choice of the Senate. I think it's MSRS that has to allow us to make that choice. I may look for more help.
Mr. Bodron, did you have some thoughts?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Bach, to the extent the intention is to make the furlough operate like the salary savings leave, the provisions for salary savings leave are provided in the LCC plan for employee benefits and policies. And I have that in front of me, and what it says on page 26 of those policies, that to receive eligible service credit and credited salary in a defined benefit plan, which is the type of plan the some employees in the Senate would be eligible for, the employee must pay an amount equal to the applicable employee contribution rates. If the employee pays the employee contribution for the period of leave under this section, the appointing authority must pay the employer contribution. So that's how salary savings leave operates.
Further questions? If not, you can continue.
Mr. Chairman, just to continue on to the furloughs, these are up to 2 years each fiscal year of the biennium. That means if to the degree that a biennium ends on June 30th of 2012, that means it could be up to two furlough days. This is when the Senate is no longer in operation for those 2 days. So it would be a defined 80-hour pay period for which 1 day the Senate is not in operation. I just want to make that perfectly clear on how we would give significant notice for what that day would be. So it's a designated day when the Senate is not in operation. By significant, I mean at least 2 months warning so that all Senate employees and senators, to the degree that they understand what kind of support or not support is existing on that day, they would have certainly fair and ample and significant warning for that on how that to happen. At a practical level, this probably means a day in late April, June, or May or June, and 2 days would have to occur within that 2.5-3 month period. It would be easier to make this decision about what those days would be in the next fiscal year, obviously, and we will do what we have to do to accomplish that. The mitigating part of this would be any new anticipation of other savings that we would occur, and that's why we have it related to the salary savings. If we have any indication that we will go beyond the salary savings, we may make a decision to only do one furlough day in the first fiscal year, or perhaps later on. But we don't want employees to be kept dangling on this issue. We have to give them very ample notice.
And Mr. Secretary, that would come back to the Rules Committee then? Or
yes. Well, yes, adjustment? At least to you, Mr. No. Chairman.
Okay.
Yes. The third item is a deferred compensation. For the last quite a few years, all staff members of the Senate and including senators have been eligible for what is called a deferred comp match. That means the Senate itself matches up to a certain amount of deferred compensation if an employee or a senator has a deferred comp account. At MSRS, about 60% of Senate staff defers some compensation, and we were matching up to $750 that deferred compensation. That did take place this in this last calendar year. That was also during the time of this fiscal period of time, but the decision was made that we would make those matches because some employees and senators had already deferred their compensation under the expectation that that match would occur, and it was only fair and the right that we would keep that promise. So this actually changes the policy, the compensation policy, to say that we will suspend these matches of deferred compensation for the next two portions of the fiscal biennium. That means a different decision certainly could be made in the rest of the calendar year of 2013.
Chairman.
Senator Metzen.
Mr. Secretary, I've been a strong believer in kicking in a little bit for the hard workers of the Senate, and $750 per each is not a lot of money, and that would encourage people to save, which is a good thing. The private sector, which a lot of people like to emulate around this building, is doing 2, 3, sometimes 4% contributions, and we're doing $750, whatever that means, out of 40,000 salaries, for example, is is not much. So if you're talking $155,000 of savings at $75,000 a year with a $22 million budget a year, I think we're looking, at least on this one, in the wrong direction, Mr. Chairman. At a time we want to encourage people to save, and this would encourage them to save if we're kicking at a small amount.
Thank you, Senator Metzen. The question is thoughts. Where do we find that 155 then? How do we make the bottom line work?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'll think about that, but yeah. I certainly believe this is one wrong area to find that small amount of money that would leverage a lot of people out there to contribute and make their decision to go in or not to go into the program.
Mr. Chairman, if I'll just make one other comment. It's off on a little bit of a side road, but I think it is significant that the Senate, we have not been static about some of these issues and the opportunity for employees to participate in some deferment or how that is used. But the Senate is one of the few public employers in Minnesota that has taken advantage of the new Roth proposal that's presented by MSRS. So you can make a deferred compensation in a pre-tax environment, but you can also choose to put money into a Roth or a after-tax account for the first time as an employee. And I believe that would apply to senators as well. So you have and I can check on that if you want, but this opportunity for a new Roth account within MSRS is a new opportunity that at least is some encouragement of savings, albeit it is after-tax an account. But we have moved on that already and have done all the administration of that and some education. Sydney Westdorf has done some meetings and education with this from our fiscal staff with many employees as well. So that doesn't mitigate what Senator Metzen has talked about completely, but it is at least one new savings opportunity. With that, Mr. Chairman, I think I'll just keep moving. And
Go forward, Mr. Secretary.
Okay. The next item is the big one. Obviously, this is where the most amount of money is found, and it requires the most amount of explanation. This is trying to structurally reduce an FTE complement within the state Senate. Some of this has already been done. Some of it has been talked about, but I need to explain it as best I possibly can. This is 1.790,400 of reduction in FTE cost in our base budget. This is accomplished within the nonpartisan part of our operations in the 12 and 13 through FTE reductions. This does talk about what I had said earlier about some of our temporary hires. These will be permanent conditions so that there will be less page support. There will be some reductions in our new director of Senate Counsel and Analysis, who is here with the Rules Committee today, Mr. Bodern, and his staff. There are some permanent full-time reductions there as well. We're making reductions in, for example, index and not index, but engrossing and some of our other staff where we believe that we can make some of these reductions successfully without affecting the support that the Senate needs to have. Some of this is also what I will characterize as step-down cost. So as some of our more experienced Senate staff have retired. Some of these retirements took place last November and December, even January of last year, and during the year. A good example of that would be is the former director, Joanne Zoff, who was here for almost 35 years, announced her retirement. The cost of replacement is less. That doesn't mean Mr. Bodern's worth is any less, but he's cheaper. And and so some of those are actually fairly significant savings to the tune of tens and tens of thousands of dollars in these reduced step-down costs as we do replacements and fill vacancies. They come in at a lesser rate than the previous employment. The other part is the FTE reductions in minority staff. And the actual reduction in the 12-13 fiscal year, for example, however the minority is constituted, or whichever caucus it is constituted, is a $444,400 reduction in FTE obligations. That is mitigated as a pure cut to accomplish the 1.7 by two ways. A $795,000 transfer for the continued employment of minority staff until June 1st of 2012. This fund comes from our fund balance. This is oftentimes called the carry forward account, which will, just to be very transparent, this is a currently around $2.2 million. This will pull down that account to about $1.4 million in that carry forward account. Then it starts over with some expenditures in the 2013 session. In January of 2013, there would be a replacement of that, whatever the minority has decided to do, we will replace that to a value of a full LA complement, for example, legislative assistant complement support. That's just a way to calculate. It does not insist that the minority makes that choice, but it's a way to calculate what that funding level will be. This also is a step-down cost reduction, because those replacements, these are temporary in-session only hires for LA staff for the minority of 2013, and these would be at basically at the minimum cost of LA support.
Senator Cohen, do you have a question?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I got a big question, but want to offer a couple of comments, if I might.
Senator Cohen?
You know, the rest of the budget that Mr. Ludman was going to get into, it's pretty self-explanatory. We've done it before relative to sergeant hours, committee pages, intern reimbursement. But I'm struck that, obviously, what we're doing is balancing the Senate budget by utilizing cuts to the minority staff. And I just want to offer a little bit of history of the state Senate to everybody around this table. But prior to that, this budget is not exactly a secret. When budgets were being put together during the 2011 session, every budget suggested some significant reduction in the Senate budget. And there was no reason why this Senate couldn't plan for that to take effect July 1st, 2011, or whenever we finished the budget finally. Because obviously the fact that we've waited these 6 or 7 months accentuates the costs. So there's no reason we couldn't plan ahead to do that. But, you know, for whatever reason, the majority chose not to do that. But I want to offer a little bit of history as to how we've handled legislative budgets, because I've been at the center of this for a number of years, and Senator Metzen is going to be able to agree with this. When I came into the Senate, every senator who is not a committee chairman, irrespective of majority or minority status, had a legislative assistant for the duration of the legislative session, and that was it. At that point, there were full-time minority staffers, and I forget what the division was. Senator Metzen, Senator Langseth, I think it was 45 Democrats, 22 Republicans, I think, Senator Metzen, when we came in. The majority-minority complement was kept basically at an equilibrium, with one huge exception, and that is that it struck me during my first term. So I had a session-only person for my first couple of sessions. That was in contrast to what I was able to do in the House. And remember, I came over from the House as a minority member, so I spent my last term in the House in the minority, but still had a full-time staff person. Now, it's a person I shared, but I had a person available throughout the year. Did not have that when I came to the Senate. And what we did, in the majority at least, is those folks who were either freshmen or not committee chairmen were shifted on to the committee staff. Sometimes it worked out great, sometimes it didn't. It happened to have worked out great for me. I was Senator Spear's vice chairman. He was very generous with his committee staff. Worked out great for me also geographically. I'm close to the Capitol. For many other members, it didn't work out very well at all. And so at the start of the 89 session, I sat down with Senator Moe and Senator Luther. Senator Luther was then the assistant majority leader. And I said, look, this isn't working out. And now, to be fair, money was not as tight as it is today. But if we go over to the House, my House members with half the district are getting more service for their district relative to a staff complement. And we should take a look, because we have twice the district, at a full-time staff person. And so what was implemented that session was the folks we hired for the 89 session as full-time, our legislative, I'm sorry, session-only staff were then kept on, by the time we finished the budget, on a full-time basis. Senator Moe said to me, he said, you know, there's going to be a problem with this. And I said, what's that? He said, you know, the minority's going to come to us and want to do the same. I said, well, they can make the same argument that the minority senators are representing twice the district as a House member. They can make exactly the same argument, and that's exactly what happened. And by the following session, everybody was treated the same, majority and minority. And so that was when full-time legislative assistants were implemented for both the majority and the minority caucuses. Now, obviously, we've had budget cuts over the years. That's not correct, Senator Roebling? That's what I recall. I was here.
But Senator, Mr. Chair?
Senator Roebling?
Senator Cohen, when I came in, we did not have, I came in 97, and we had session only for half of the senators, and then we shared one permanent full-time person during the interim. So as a freshman, you really didn't have your own full-time person. You shared during the interim with somebody okay. else. So we did only have session
well,
only.
And Mr. Chairman, Senator Roebling, you anticipate me that with some of the back and forth with the budget, we ended up having some variation on those themes. And so it didn't maintain as an equilibrium throughout year to year. But when we've had the budget cuts, and certainly when I was chairman of the Finance Committee, and had at one point direct responsibility for the Senate budget. Later, Senator Metzen had direct responsibility for the Senate budget. We made sure that the cuts were divided equally. We didn't single out the majority versus the minority. This is the first time where the totality has fallen on the minority. That's what's new about this. I'm not suggesting that there was not at times less than equal status, but the attempt was always made to have an equal status as best we could. This is a unique budget in that it's the first time where it falls in totality on the minority, and second, in a way that spreads it out over less than the full two-year budget cycle, making it that much more difficult for the minority to operate. And I just suggest that if you look at the history of the Senate budget, and again, my involvement's been for many years because prior to being chairman of the Finance Committee, I was chairman of State Departments, which at the time, well, it's still the State Department still has, I think, the legislative budget. The previous State Department was about 2.5 times what it is right now. But I've been involved with the Senate budget in a pretty significant way for a long, long time around here. And I don't recall any discussion in my office privately, or in the offices of previous majority leaders, Senator Moe, Senator Hottinger, Senator Johnson, Senator Pogemiller. Let's figure out a way that we can deal with this budget and just take it out on the minority. This one's a first.
Senator Michel.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And not any reaction to, but just to continue the discussion with my Senator Cohen, I'm certain that the use of the word totality is wrong. Now, so let's you and I have a little more of this discussion. So if we are reducing committee staff, is that a reduction that is in its totality just borne by the minority caucus? This budget reduces committee staff. We need to do that. So
right there,
you can see we're sharing in this reduction. We will have less committee staff after adopting this budget. That is a reduction to majority staff. The other thing that we're changing, which will be pretty significant in the majority caucus, is we're going to ask our LAs to step up and perform more duties within the committee structure. So, yes, this absolutely has an impact on majority staff. We need to do this together. And just a couple other points, and then Senator Cohen and I can keep going. But in the end, this is a 5% reduction. 5%. There are Minnesota families and businesses and taxpayers that would think that's actually pretty easy. And after the recession we've gone through, after the budget cuts that we just went through last summer, 5% should be pretty easy for the Senate to do. So I appreciate what the work that has gone into this. And I know, Senator Cohen, I know a big part, a big philosophy behind this suggestion is how much discretion can this budget turn over to the minority caucus so that you, so that they, the minority caucus, can make some decisions rather than just laying it out, here's what you got to do, but to give the minority caucus a number to hit and give them some flexibility and discretion as to how to do that. I think that's a good way to share in this exercise. And that's what this proposal does.
Mr. Chairman,
Senator,
I know Senator Bach.
Senator Cohen and Senator Bach.
Sir Michel, I did pretty well in reading, and some I'm missing that, this thing about the majority staff. If that is in reference to the committee pages, those are session-only employees, and if you're suggesting the LAs now have to run around a little bit more than they did previously because no committee pages, that doesn't count. I don't see a reduction in full-time majority staff other than committee pages, unless there's something here I'm missing. What Mr. Ludeman said is that there was a reduction in operations, talked about the Senate Council and research, talked about the nonpartisan parts of the Senate. Second, don't misconstrue my comments to suggest that it's not appropriate to have a 5% reduction in the Senate budget. I've done reductions like that. It's absolutely appropriate to have a reduction like that. What I'm suggesting is that it's not appropriate to take it out of the hide of one caucus versus another. That's what I'm suggesting, not that it's not appropriate to have a 5% reduction. The other thing I mentioned, of course, is that this reduction is accentuated by the fact that somehow we couldn't figure this out come July 1st, months ago, when the budget impact would have been somewhat negated. But don't misconstrue my comments to suggest that I don't approve of a 5% reduction or potentially even a higher reduction. But if the majority reduction is the committee page line of this budget, that doesn't count.
Senator Bach.
Well, kind of to piggyback on Senator Cohen, committee pages are not permanent employees of the Senate. They don't receive any benefits, no health benefits, no pension benefits. They're temporary employees. They know that when they're hired. The problem here, and Senator Senjamai, I appreciate that this is a great improvement over what we talked about a week ago, but I do think if we're talking about permanent reductions in Senate staffing levels, even if we split the baby and both caucuses took 222,000, it still would fall as a percentage more disproportionately on the minority than the majority. But to Senator Michel's point about, well, why can't we take a 5% cut, I think everybody around this table has been here for a while. In 2008, the Senate took a 3% cut in its budget. In 2009, we took an additional 3%. In 2010, we took a 2% cut, plus we gave back $428,000 of the Senate's carry forward for the budget. Members, this is not a state agency. This is an institution that is necessary to run state government. This is not like cutting a few FTEs at DNR or one of the other state agencies. The institution of the legislature is different. It's in our Constitution. And I would argue we have some obligation to make sure this institution can function going forward. I think some of the cuts we've been taking over the years is diminishing our ability to be able to do that. But these have been difficult budget times. But, Senator Michel, it's not fair to say that while it's only a 5% cut when we've when the Senate budget has been taking cuts in 8, 9, and twice in 2010. So I just think we need to be careful about this. The work that we do here is very important for the people of our state, and we certainly want our members of the state Senate to be able to provide the kind of constituent services that Minnesotans should be able to expect from us, and it shouldn't matter what town those constituents live in. They should be able to get the same kind of constituent services. So I guess my request would be is let's split the baby. If we have to cut $444,000, let's both caucuses be willing to share in that. I think going forward that is better for the institution. Just a matter of fairness. But in that, Senator Sundrum, I do appreciate a great deal the improvements that have been made from the last time that I've seen the document. And then, Mr. Chairman, I have a question for the Secretary. So that, Mr. Ludeman, so that I understand the $444,000, whether it remains as it is proposed or it is split between the caucuses or whatever the final outcome is, do I understand that all of the savings will come during the interim period, and we would, when Sesson convenes next year, we'd go back to a full roster? Is that what I understand?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Bach, that's pretty much it. Yes, most of the savings would be accomplished between June 1st of this year and January of next year. There might be some opportunity for these savings to occur in June of 2013, but depending on what minority we're talking about. But we would continue to work with our budget director and our HR department, and we've worked well with your staff, for example, on how to hit that number. So, yes, those are real reductions to accomplish that. So the full roster that I'm talking about in 2013 for both caucuses, for LA support, for example, is I think you do understand that's a step-down cost because some of those new LAs would be new LAs and and session-only LAs with significant lower compensation and no benefits.
So, Mr. Bach? Mr. Chairman, Mr. Secretary, to accomplish $444,000 in salary savings between the end of session or May or whenever the layoffs are going to happen, and next January, how many FTEs would that you anticipate that would equate to?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Bach, that's about 12 FTEs.
So, my point,
Senator Bach,
Mr. Chairman, what the budget proposes is that the minority caucus lay off 12 to 14 people during the interim, while the majority caucus lays off nobody. I just think that's unfair.
Others?
Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I've been here longer than anybody. I remember 30 years ago, I would probably get one call at home every 2 weeks or something to relay on to whoever my staff person was at that time. Now I a lot of times get two and three a day. So I think it's so entirely different now than it used to be as far as the need for having a full-time person working for for each of the senators. And I don't know, we were talking earlier in the day about this being a family. Well, it kind of seems to me that I've never treated my younger brother and sisters quite the way this is being done. I don't think anybody would consider this to be fair. I mean, we're all going to have to take a hit. Fine, let's all take a hit. But let's make it fair. And I see no way that this is considered fair.
Thank you, Senator Lankset. Others?
Mr. Chairman,
want to continue with the...
If I may, I just wanted to... Since we're at this big portion of the budget, I just wanted to translate that into what Senator Michelle had mentioned, that these calculations are to transmit to a base budget. I think this is different than the past, to a budget for the minority caucus and the majority caucus. It's just the definition of what those expenditures are for is what's different, and I want to just explain that a little bit. So you will see that it's not an asterisk. It's a little cross there, whatever that – I guess that's what Mr. Greenwald could figure as a reference point. So down in the the cross where it says new biennial base for caucus legislative support not related to committee function. And this is based on the assumption that even the what are called the freshman LAs will have a more committee functionality, more responsibilities throughout the entire year, would result in a minority caucus budget, however they accomplish that, at $2.629 million, and the majority caucus at $2.469 million. But the definition of what that is for is a significant difference, which Senator Cohen and Senator Bach recognize. In other words, what we call in the budgeting world leadership cost and research cost is what is the minority caucus for, and LA support for the minority caucus budget. For the majority caucus, it's what we call leadership and research cost. So it results in that base budget. How either caucus achieves that is for the caucuses to decide. And at some point, it's inappropriate for me to talk about any recommendations for that and how they would achieve that. But that is a difference that I think everyone on this committee now recognizes, and I just wanted to point that out. As it relates to
Senator Bach. Oh, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Secretary, we lay off 12 to 14 people. What is the impact to the carry forward with the unemployment? Assume, you know, tough economy, they're going to have a hard time finding employment. What will happen to our carry forward when we throw 12 or 14 people on unemployment? How much do we anticipate that will cost the carry forward?
Senator Bach, Mr. Chairman, Senator Bach, that number is probably could be as much as $250,000. For the biennium. And as you rightfully point out, that separation cost, including unemployment compensation cost, now traditionally has been paid out of our carry forward, not out of our base budget.
So, Mr. Chairman, I think that's important for the committee to think about. I mean, so the savings may not be $444,000. You can reduce the savings by about $250,000 because of we pay our own unemployment costs. So the real savings is something less than $200,000. We have a $1.4 million carry forward now. It might be better for the members and their constituency if we just took the carry forward down by $200,000 and avoided all the unemployment liability.
Mr. Chairman, but we could get that just through per diem.
Repeat, Senator Cohen.
That's okay, Mr. Chairman. I don't want to get people upset.
Chairman.
Senator Metzen.
I just think this is a terrible precedent to set for the institution here. It's a kind of a bouncing ball effect, I think. If we get the majority back, the other party, we just come here and do the same thing. I mean, it's not right. It's just not fair. And if we come back, do we treat the other side like you're treating us today? And I don't think that's right. So it's a slippery slope. I don't think we should go down it.
Senator Metzen, and this is maybe – I'm not going to ask Senator or Secretary Ludeman, but my understanding is that the minority caucus with 30 members and staff there – there are two to those 30 members, is $160,000 more for the biennium, if we count the non-committee-related stuff, than the minority staff. And I suspect in large part that's related to longevity around here, that you just have higher-salaried people. But I think our intent is you can manage that amount of money in whatever way you want. Actually, you probably have more money to manage than the majority staff in terms of the money available to you to run your caucus. $160,000 more. even though you're seven members less at this point. And I'll stand corrected if I'm wrong. But
Mr. Chair, didn't you exempt the committee staff from that?
No. Yes, I did. Yeah, if we forget about the committee stuff, just,
well, the committee staff,
LA and research staff.
I was a committee chair for 20-some years, and my committee staff was my staff. I don't think you can say that you don't talk about the committee staff that the majority has, because that's part of your staff that work for you, that can do a lot of things for you other than just committee work. That, I think you kind of threw a curve there and made it sound much different than what it is.
I understand, Senator. I'm sorry, Senator. Let's go ahead. I understand if you just count LAs and if you count research staff and maybe communication staff, for the minority caucus, it's $160,000 more overall payroll and everything else that goes with that than for the majority caucus with 37 members. And I think it's probably just longevity. You have people that work here longer that make higher salaries. But I think also that we're suggesting in this that you can take that lump of money, and I know you're not going to lay off people and so on that earn higher salaries, but you can, you got that money to manage in every way you want.
Mr. Chairman, to Senator Lanxess' point, the unfairness comes in with the fact that once we adjourn and go home, there's no more committee work. This legislature has adjourned sine die. Mm-hmm. There's no more work for the committee. But still, your 15 chairs that chair a committee are going to have two staff that work for them. And you're saying the minority will have one staff for every two members. That, I think, is the unfairness. You're going to have 15 people that have two staff and no committee work. And over there, you're going to say, well, you lay off 12 to 14. You have roughly one staff person for every two members. Now, and nobody can make the argument, well, they're a committee chair, so they've got work. No, we've signed, he died and went home. So I don't think it's fair to not include committee staff. They're just a regular staff person for the Senate once we sign, he die and go home. It's not committee work any longer.
The chairman, Chairman Bach's point is a good point, so maybe what we should do is have an amendment where to save money and make it a little bit more equal. After we adjourn sign, he die, whenever that is, but we'll have about a year plus left in the biennium, the committee staff ought to be reduced from, we'll say, April 15th through January 4th by one. Now, that would be fair. That would be apples to apples.
Senator Cole, I'm not understanding you. Reduce one committee staff?
Well, Senator Bach points out that once we adjourn sine die, there's no committee work left to do as such. And I don't care what any committee chairman around this table says, things change significantly, particularly in an election year when we adjourn sine die. When we adjourn in the non-election year, different story. But when we adjourn in the election year, sine die, the committee work comes to an abrupt halt. And so maybe the apples to apples is what this budget should represent is from the date of sine die adjournment until we come back into session in January 3rd, so those 7 months, that extra committee staff person is the person laid off. So if a committee chairman has Senator Michelle and Senator Fischbach and Senator Gerlach and Senator Limmer and Senator Roebling, so if they have two committee staff folks because they need to do the committee work during the session, then for the rest of the biennium, the rest of the year, not the biennium, but the rest of the year until we come back in session, one of their staff folks are laid off. And we're not worried about, because we don't have to worry, as Senator Bach points out, we don't have to worry about committee staff.
All right.
Mr. Chair, thank you. Senator Cohen, that wasn't part of the plan for 2010, was it? Or was it?
No, Madam Chair. No, Mr. Chairman and Senator Ortman, it wasn't because we treated everybody equally.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Obling.
Well, for 38 years, your committee chairs had two staff. Now the tables are turned, and you're saying that they shouldn't. I don't know. I, and And maybe, you know, the reason I think you can't, it's very difficult to lay somebody off is because those committee administrators get institutional knowledge. It's very critical. And if they leave and you have to hire somebody brand new to start a committee up again the next January, that gets to be quite complicated. And I understand it can work that way for LAs too, but it's more of a concern for a committee process and what their specialty is.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Senator
Robles, Cohen.
I was just trying to come up with maybe some fair, equitable way out of this because I kept on hearing about all the work the committee staff was doing and all the need for the committee staff, and I was just following up on Senator Bach's suggestion as to what happens when we adjourn sine die. The simple reality is, and you made reference to when you came in as a freshman and you had less staff. What we did year after year after year, and I could be wrong because I don't have the numbers in front of me, is we had a proportional budget for the majority and the minority. Now, as to how the minority apportioned their money, I can't speak to that. That was a decision for the minority caucus as to how they apportioned their money and whether or not they gave freshmen less staff versus higher paid research staff. I'm not sure about that. But certainly during the times of budget cuts, we attempted to treat, I believe, treated both sides in a proportional way. Now, I haven't had the direct responsibility for the Senate budget the last couple of go-arounds that Senator Metzen did, so he can speak to that a little bit better than I can in terms of say, the previous 4 years. But I'm only suggesting a way to try to make it equitable and to do what we've done before. Senator Metzen spoke in terms a little more threatening than mine as to it's an easy road to go down. It's a road, pure and simple, we've never gone down before, ever, as best I know, during the time I've been in the Senate.
Well, Mr. Chair, you know,
we
went through a year that was pretty darn rough. In fact, in my 31 years at that time, it was the roughest session I ever went through. And there was more contention and everything. And this year we heard on the floor today that, well, things are going to be a little different. We're going to get along as a family. So what do we do the first day? We say, well, minority, you got to take this cut, but we're not going to. So I think, politically, I kind of hope you do this because I kind of think the public is for a sense of fair play and so go have at it. We'll deal with it.
Senator Cohen?
Chairman, like Seth, so what you're suggesting is we're only kind of like half brothers and sisters in the family.
Okay. Now,
or maybe the stepchildren of the family.
Senator Sanjum.
Yes, Senator.
Mr. Chair, I am trying to remember when we were in the minority. I believe we weren't given a chunk of money to determine within. I believe we were told what our allotment for staff members were. So because I'm just trying to, as Senator Cohen was talking, I was trying to remember that because I don't believe we were like, here are your dollars, please work within those. I don't recall that part. And maybe you could be able, if you remember
well,
at all.
And Senator Fischbach and members, yes, clearly. Senator Pogemiller, maybe it was his style, but certainly, yeah, it was okay. It was proportional in terms of the numbers, but also if we wanted to make a communications person out of a research person, we couldn't do that. Matter of fact, we could not even hire a chief of staff when we wanted to because somehow there was this immediate hiring freeze on a particular day that led our decision on a chief of staff to be belabored by 1 year. So it was pretty prescriptive.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to respond to that.
Yes.
You know what? You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
And that was opposed by some members of the majority caucus for exactly the reasons you're suggesting it was inappropriate.
Sure.
And yes, Cullen Sheehan should have been hired immediately. And there were people in the majority caucus who suggested to the previous majority leader that we shouldn't have done it that way. You're right. And I believe that is the exception to the rule and an exception that I wasn't particularly pleased with.
No.
And Mr.
Senator
Chair.
Cohen, I appreciate that because it that was not a good day.
Mr.
You
Chair.
Bet.
Senator Fischbach.
Mr. Chair, I think the point that I was trying to make was more that I think this is a step towards giving the minority, whoever it may be, the opportunity to work within that budget as opposed to the prescriptive way it used to be, where we were told when we were in the minority, we were told by the Rules Committee what positions we could hire and have, and you know, what range the salary was in, all of that kind of thing. But I think this is actually something that we were looking for when, as I recall, and, you know, as minority leader, you can correct me, or right. When you were minority leader, that we were kind of looking to go to that because we thought it was a better way for us to work within that budget and do the things that we felt would be a priority. So this, I think, is a step towards if you providing the money and saying work within that.
Let me just ask, are there any other questions on the rest of this? If not, if there's a motion, we can continue to discuss, but let's just get it on the table formally.
Chairman, I don't know if you're looking for amendments to this proposal, but I'll
make
it.
Well, let's have a motion first.
You want the motion first?
Mr. Chairman, I will move adoption of the Senate budget.
Okay, it's been moved by Gerlach that we adopt the proposal as presented. Second, and I'm not sure who was first. Well, tell me.
Senator
okay.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to amend the motion that the staffing reductions for the partisan employees be split equally, the $444,400 be split equally between the two caucuses, and I'd like a roll call vote.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
Yes.
Senator Bach, could you tell me? I've got lots of paper. It's right here, isn't it?
The 444 split.
Okay, thank you. I was looking at the wrong page. Thank you.
Mr. Chair.
Do you want to follow up on that, Senator Bach?
Well, in defense of my motion, Mr. Chairman, we still would be taking, as a percentage, a significant reduction in staffing flexibility. You have much more flexibility. You have a lot more staff with 15 or so committee administrators that after we sine die don't have committee work any longer. It's a very fair motion because you have a lot more flexibility with your higher number of FTEs to make the reduction than the minority does.
Mr. Roebling?
Mr. Chair, when Senator Bach, when you say it would be split equally, or would it be split proportionally according to the number of members that we have?
It's cut it in half, is all he's doing.
Well, my motion was that the dollar amount be split equally, and I think that means your percentage of FTE reductions as your complement will be less than the percentage of ours. But I'm willing to have a conversation about doing it relative to 37 to 30 members. I mean, I'm willing to have that conversation, and I necessarily think that's not worth having.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Cohen.
Senator Bach's motion is still disproportionate to the minority. So, and I'll support Senator Bach's motion and not move to amend to make it totally proportionate to the minority. Just do it equally. 50-50. That works to our disadvantage.
Was that an amendment to his motion?
No, I'm not making that.
I didn't think so. Okay, on the motion, all in favor? Oh, pardon me, roll call. I'm sorry. Roll call.
Senator
Mr. Clerk.
Senator Senjum.
Nope.
Senator Bach.
Yes.
Senator Cohen.
Yes.
Senator Fischbach.
No.
Senator Gerlach.
No.
Senator Langseth.
Yes.
Senator Limmer.
No.
Senator Metzen.
Yes.
Senator Michelle. Senator Ortman?
No.
Senator Roebling?
No.
Okay. Four yeses, seven noes. The motion does not prevail. Moving back to the main motion, would you like a roll call?
Mr. Chairman, a comment.
Sure.
Members, this is a dangerous precedent we're taking. And I understand that the majority in the state Senate has only flipped twice since statehood. But it is a very dangerous precedent to say that the minority caucus will take all of the staffing reductions when there's a budget problem. very dangerous precedent.
Senator Bach, I would simply say that the way I look at it, you have $160,000 more to work with, and you can work with that in any fashion that you want, and so might we work with our $160,000 less in any fashion we want.
But, Mr. Chairman, you're not considering the 15 or so committee administrators that you have that once we sign EDI don't have any committee work left any longer. It is not fair to not include the committee administrators as part of your complement, especially after we sign EDI. And, Mr. Chairman, the thought that we would ask the minority to reduce 12 to 14 of our people while you reduce not one of your permanent staff is unfair, and yes, I would like a roll call vote.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Obig.
You know, I just had this conversation with another senator. My committee administrator has left to take another position, and recognizing that we're going to have a short session and hopefully that we don't have to reopen the budget, I've been talking to another senator about sharing a committee administrator for the rest of this year. And my idea was that it would provide some cost savings to our budget and maybe prevent some of those furlough days or something like that. But and it could prevent some cost savings anywhere. And I think that all of us need to be cognizant of the budget situation and why we should be saving and being aware that we do want our staff to be fully occupied as much as possible. And you're right, after we adjourn Sine Die this year and everybody's back home campaigning, there isn't going to be a lot of work. There's some research work that always continues, but it's not as significant as between the interim between the two major sessions of a biennium. And so, you know, I'm looking for opportunities like that to save staffing costs, and I think it's doable. And so, you know, I think this is kind of a new area for us, but as we go through our first biennium, we find out what we can or cannot do, and I'm thinking that I could manage that shared CA. For a time being, but I don't know that everybody can. You know, the budget was done last year, and so it's not going to be as busy this year with the Finance Committee. But next year, absolutely, you need a full-time CA. So, you know, it's looking at things and opportunities when there's openings and how you balance those out. And the opportunities don't always come along. But certainly, I think we probably could save more money within this budget if all of us in both caucuses look for opportunities for where we might be able to have salary savings. And then we either add more staff or we discontinue some of the furlough days. I think that's our charge. We need to run this operation as efficiently as we can and look for those opportunities.
Looks like you want to talk, Senator Langsitt.
Well, Mr. Chair, you know, you can sugarcoat this all you want. It's an unfair action being taken by the majority against the minority just because you got the votes to do it.
Yes, Senator Bach?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Roebling, based on your comments, you should have supported my motion that we both find a way to cut $222,000. Remember, this doesn't make any sense. I mean, the $444,000 that you're asking the minority to cut is going to reduce the carry forward by $250,000 because of unemployment costs that we incur. So the real savings that you're going to accomplish, according to the Secretary, is about $194,000. That's the real savings. It is not worth setting this precedent for $194,000 of savings when there's $1.4 million in the carry forward. You're only going to save 194. I would spend the 194 and not start this precedent.
Chairman.
Senator Metzen.
Just to conclude, I was able to chair the budget Senate committee for 6 years. Senator Pogemiller took it over the last couple of years. We did it proportionately. For those 6 years, I had the pleasure of being the chair of this committee, so we weren't doing things like this that. party or another. So it was done proportionately. I think you could look up those numbers. Senator Cohen was there.
You had to approve our budget at the end.
Well, and Mr. Chairman, keep in mind, it's 2003, big deficit. 2007, slight surplus. 2009, big deficit. So we've done budget cuts. But as Senator Metzen points out, we tried to do things in a proportionate, fair basis.
Okay, Mr. Clerk, call the roll.
Senator Senjum.
Yes.
Senator Bach.
No.
Senator Cohen.
No.
Senator Fischbach.
Yes.
Senator Gerlach.
Yes.
Senator Langseth.
No.
Senator Limmer.
Yes.
Senator Metzen.
No.
Senator Michelle.
Yes.
Senator Ortman.
Yes.
Senator Roebling.
Yes.
On a score of 7-4, the motion prevails. The proposal is adopted, and the committee stands adjourned. I'm sorry,
Chair,
Senator Miller.
Mr. Chair, I don't know if the Senate has a particular timing issue of bringing this to the floor, but between now and then, would we be open to any creative ideas that might be able to get us beyond this type of posture? The reason I bring that up is perhaps attrition might have
Mr.
something to do with it.
Senator Limmer, I'm told the action of the Rules Committee is final. Now, that all said, nothing's final around here, so.
All right.
Very cool.
My question is just, we're still part of the family?
You're absolutely part of the family. Okay. Committee's adjourned.